This is Wisconsin Public Radio on NPR One.
More companies are taking an interest in their employees' health because it can affect productivity and the bottom line. Yesterday, we told you about weight loss surgery as part of our series on obesity and wellness. Today, Shemaine Mills reports on the effectiveness of wellness programs in the workplace.
As medical costs continue to go up, companies have been looking for ways to save money and improve the health of their employees. This has led to a rise in workplace wellness programs. Justin Sidner is an associate professor at the Wisconsin School of Business.
There's been a push recently for companies in particular to start doing things to offer direct cash payments or reductions on premiums for insurance for people who engage in healthier activities. So exercising more, dieting, taking a health risk assessment. And there's a lot of questions about how effective those things really are.
Many states, including Wisconsin, encourage companies to set up wellness programs in the hope their employees will take an interest in their health, lose excess weight, and be more productive. On this day, state physical activity coordinator Jonathan Morgan has been invited to give a breakfast presentation to Dane County businesses as people eat fruit, eggs, and bacon.
I know Wisconsin is always considered sort of a very overweight state. We're actually in about the middle. There are some things we certainly could improve, but we're not the worst.
Morgan says to a large degree, how healthy we are is up to us. It's estimated 70% of health can be influenced.
About 40% is lifestyle, 30% is genetics, which you can't change, but then social, medical care, and the environment can be changed. So there are places you can make inroads.
Morgan tells employers what many already know, unhealthy employees can be expensive to insure. He tries to convince them that spending money on work wellness programs can have a positive effect on the bottom line.
And so there's definitely a relationship between the number of risk factors and the health care costs. And sort of the interesting little analogy here is a high-risk 35-year-old costs the same as a low-risk 75-year-old. So if you can keep them in the lower risk group, you can save money, they'll be healthier, they'll be happier.
But change is hard, and eating right and exercising is often easier said than done. Professor Sidner has researched employee wellness. He did a study that showed paying people to go to the gym didn't really work.
We find in this situation that additional money doesn't really seem to help. It looks like people really have good intentions. Most people don't follow through with it. They want to go about three times a week. Within about 2 weeks after joining the gym, on average, people are only going one time a week, and many people aren't going at all.
That's not to say that wellness programs don't work. They're much more than just physical activity, and Morgan says they can reduce companies' health costs.
Return on investment's usually between $2 to $5. Most of the studies are showing that. Some of them come up with $14 or $15, but I'm not quite sure that I completely believe that. But generally speaking, you'll get more than your buck back that you invest in your wellness program.
Most wellness programs are voluntary, and for that reason, Sidner says they may not attract the people who need it most.
We do find in many studies that a lot of the money ends up going towards people who would have engaged in the activities anyway. So there's good reason to believe that, you know, the return on investment for wellness incentives can often be quite small. And there's emerging evidence that suggests that, you know, this approach, unless really done effectively, and it's not always clear the best way to do it, tends not to have a huge return on the investment.
With studies showing mixed results, companies may be gambling on whether spending money on wellness is worth it. But with rising medical costs, they may feel like they have no choice. Shemaine Mills, Wisconsin Public Radio.